Amen. Listen, thanks, Mike. I'll talk to you later. It's great to be back on this broadcast again, and got lots of good response from last week's broadcast. And I want today to talk about four wonderful demonstrations of grace. That's four wonderful demonstrations of grace. And if you have a Bible, we're going to read six verses. That's all, six verses. Chapter 1 of Matthew. Matthew 1, verses 1 to 6. And I trust that by the ministry of this message that people will be helped, God's people will be built up and edified and encouraged. And also, if there's someone listening who's not yet trusted in Christ, may they be helped to do so and encouraged to do so, to reach out to him for salvation. So we're going to look at four wonderful demonstrations of grace, and they're found in Matthew 1:1 to 6. And I'm going to read them. It says, "The book of generations of Jesus Christ." This is his ancestry, the book of generations. This is his ancestry. The generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and family trees were very important, especially with Christ, because it had to be shown that he was descended from David, King David. That was the promise, that he would be of David's seed. And so this is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Abraham begat. Now, when you see this word in the King James, begat, it means he was the father of. And there's lots of begatting going on in this chapter. You'll be glad we're not going to read the whole chapter. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, or Judah, and his brethren. And Judah begat Phares and Sarah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahash, son of Nahash, son. And Nahash's son begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz and Rahab, of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias." Whoa! Wait a minute! What are you going to do preaching out of that? All those begats and all those names? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. You should never rush over things too quickly when it comes to the scripture. We just read about four women. Yeah, four women who got into this ancestry. Now, it's all about men begetting children, but there were four women. The first one was Tamar, then verse 3, and then in verse 5, Rahab, and verse 5 again, Ruth, and then verse 6, Bathsheba. And the thing that makes this all strange is probably the right word. The thing that makes this strange is that they're women, and women in that generation, in those days, women weren't thought highly of. You know, a woman couldn't give evidence in a court trial. No, they weren't very well thought of. But three of these people, women, no, all of them women, but they're all Gentiles. Three of them, I should say, are Gentiles. Two were Canaanites, one was a Moabite, and the Hebrews were not supposed to marry non-Hebrews. Listen to me. Why? Because Yahweh wanted to keep his people monotheistic. And that means believers in one God. The heathens all believed in multiple gods, but the Hebrews believed in one God. The Canaanites had many gods. And the Lord didn't want his people adopting their beliefs. And Christians are monotheistic. We believe in one God, only one God. There's only ever been one God. There only is one God. And we know him as Jesus. He's revealed himself. He is the exegesis of God. And we don't have to guess what God's like. Jesus took the guesswork out of God. Someone said amen to that. Well, these Gentile women got into the genealogy of Jesus because of one thing and one thing only. Do you know what that was? It was grace. That's it, grace. And that's how you get into the family of God, if you're a believer. And that's how I get into the family of God. It was by one thing and one thing only, and that was grace. And I pray that God's dealings with us in grace would be magnified today by this sermon. And we would come to love and appreciate the Lord Jesus even more. So look, let's look at the first woman in verse 3, Tamar. Do you know her story? Do you know the story of Tamar? Genesis 38. Oh, it's amazing. I've read it two or three times this last few days. It's quite amazing. If you be ready, hold on to your seats to hear this story. Now, Judah had a son called Er, and he married Tamar. Now, Er, and by the way, I'm only summarizing this. Er died. Actually, it says the Lord killed him because he was wicked. Ooh, there's a warning. And the son Er died, and they were childless. They hadn't been able to raise up seed. And that's so important for the Hebrew way of thinking. And so, anyway, there was a second son. And Judah sent him in to impregnate Tamar so that the first husband would have, they called it seed, so that he would have children. And so she was to bear, and he was to bear children for her. He was to impregnate her so she could bear a child for her former husband. And that was the way they did it back in those days. But the second son, he refused. Well, he certainly didn't go through with it all the way. And they were stuck. Oh, no, we're not stuck. There's a young boy, Shelah. And he's a young son. So Judah said to Tamar, hey, listen, wait for him. He has to grow up yet. And when he's grown up, I'll send him to you. And he'll raise up, you'll be able to raise up seed to your former husband, your first husband. And so the boy grew up, and Judah didn't send him in to see Tamar. And she was very upset, rightly so. And so she found out there was going to be a place where Judah was going to be with his herds, and she went to the nearby settlement, and she dressed up as a prostitute, a big veil over her face. And sure enough, Judah, he was a widower. He saw her, and he says, hey, I fancy that. And he had no money to pay. And she says, look, I'll give you a kid from the flock, a little young goat from the flock. And she says, that's well and good, but I need some pledges that you'll return. And so he gave her the bracelet, his bracelet, his staff, his signet ring, and said, you can give these back when I deliver the kid for services rendered. Well, of course, when he turned his back and was away, she went back home. And 2 months later, she became pregnant. Well, Judah found out about it, and he was wroth. He was irate. He was having conniptions, as we say in Ireland. Having conniptions. Yeah. He says, look, bring her here and we'll burn her. Well, we'll execute her by burning her in the flames, in the fire. He was mad. And she went and said, okay, I'm pregnant. And here's the man I'm pregnant. You know who it is? The man I'm pregnant by owns this ring and owns this bracelet and owns this staff. Oh, my. Oh, my. Judas realizes how unrighteous he is and how righteous Tamar is. And they move on with life. The girl's not burnt. And Judah gets the pledges back. And here we find Tamar in the genealogy of Christ, in the family of Christ. How'd she get in there? She was a sinner. I mean, she was deceptive. She lied. She was dressed up like a prostitute, acted like a prostitute. How could she have got in to the family of God? Grace. That's it. Grace. Listen to me. The only people that Jesus saves are sinners. If Tamar hadn't been a sinner, she wouldn't have had grace. He saves. Jesus saves the vilest, and he saves the worst. But you know, it's not in vogue. It's not popular anymore to mention sin nowadays. However, the only people who may apply for mercy are sinners. And if you don't know that you're a sinner, then you don't need to apply for mercy, because you won't. Only sinners apply for mercy. You know, a little while ago, I went on the internet and did a search for why people come to Jesus. What was the reason? And at that stage, I don't know what it's like now, but all these different alternatives were offered to, as to why people would come to Jesus. Joy, for example. Jesus will give you joy. He'll give you help. He'll give you comfort. He'll give you a relationship with God. Now, all those things, I'm not saying they're not true. Of course they're true. But on and on they went. And they all missed the first reason to come to Jesus is sin. And so many are coming to the Lord Jesus for the wrong reason. Oh, it's all about me. It's all about I can get something from him. No, we need to get forgiveness and cleansing from him before we can even start living. And there are many coming to Jesus for the wrong reasons. And perhaps that's why some of our churches are so ineffective. They have a bunch of unsaved sinners in attendance. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said in Matthew 9:13, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. By the way, if you think you're good enough to get to heaven, he's not speaking to you. If you think you are good enough, because Jesus only saves sinners. That's grace. We have nothing to offer God. And to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to take our place as sinners. Jesus is for sinners. We've nothing to offer God. I don't know where the notion comes from that when God gets us, he gets something really good. I've heard that. That's crazy. He gets nothing when he gets me. Oh, no. But he's in the business of saving sinners and no one else. And if you haven't come, listen to me, if you haven't come to him as a sinner, you haven't come to him. Think about the times Jesus saved sinners. He went into Jericho. Oh, yeah. And there's a wee man perched up a tree waiting to see him. His name was Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a rogue. He was one of the worst people in the city of Jericho. He was the chief tax collector, and he'd made himself very rich. Now, tax collectors in those days, they fleeced the people. The Romans would say, we want X number of dollars, X number of pounds, X number of euros for that place there. And whatever you make by charging taxes, that's up to yourself. The extra, just give us our cut of it. And so these men, the tax collectors, made themselves fabulously wealthy. And here was the chief collector, tax man, up the tree, perched up the tree, waiting to see Jesus. And Jesus stopped at the tree and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I'm going to go to your house for dinner. Ooh! Do you see that? I'm going to go to your house for dinner. I imagine people saying, what? Does he not know who he's dealing with? If he's hungry, why doesn't he go to the mayor's home? The mayor's would be glad to have him, or the good people. There's lots of good people. There's the home of the Pharisees, the chief Pharisees. They could have him. But no, he went home with Zacchaeus. Why? Because he only saves sinners. And the only person that, the only reason that Tamar got into the genealogy, got into the family of the Lord, was grace, grace, grace. She was a sinner, just like us. We're not going to sit in judgment of her. She was a sinner, and so are we. And look, the explanation of our salvation is not found in us. The explanation of our salvation is found in God. He decides to save sinners, and he does save sinners. Oh, look, look. The only thing that draws us to him is our lost condition. But let's move on and look at the second one. The second lady, found in verse 5, Rahab. Oh, a good verse to describe her would be 1 Samuel 2:8. Have you read it? Yeah, it says, he lifteth up the needy from the dunghill. Boy, she was in the dunghill. Well, how'd she get in to the family of God? Well, by grace, through faith. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith she received the spies. She was a Canaanite. She lived in Jericho. What did she do there? I wonder, did she have a sewing and knitting club? No. She ran a brothel, owned and operated a brothel. And for years, the news of the Israelites had been filtering through. They were 40 years getting over to Jericho. And news was filtering through. It had been filtering through. And she came to believe that these were the people of God. And they had come out of Egypt with a bloodbath, supernatural bloodbath. They'd crossed the Red Sea. And now spies came. And in Joshua 2, verses 9 to 10, she says, I know the Lord has given you the land. I heard it. I believed it. Faith leads her to action, and she hides the spy. You should read the whole story for yourself. And she hides them and helps them escape. And she believes that Israel are the people of God and that God's hand is with them. And let me tell you this, she is a woman of faith. And you can't receive salvation without faith. Without confidence, faith, let's say it like this, faith is confidence in Christ, confidence in what he did at the cross, who he is and what the cross, he accomplished at the cross. And he said, it is finished. It is finished. Redemption is complete. The atonement is complete. It is finished. There's no need for anybody to add to it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so faith leads her to action. She hides the spies. She helps them escape. And she gets into Christ's family. Not by her character, but by faith. And it was a work of grace. And faith helps her to break with her old life after she has been spared. Do you think, come here. Come here to me. Do you think after she was spared, she says, oh, I think I'll go. Jericho's been destroyed, but I'll stay here and rebuild my brothel. No. She joins with the people of God and becomes one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's grace. And then there was Ruth. Remember Ruth? We read about her. Chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 5. But you should read her. The book called The Book of Ruth. You should read it. It's wonderful. This woman was a lovely person, a delightful person. But being lovely and being delightful couldn't get her into the Lord's family. She was a Moabite. And in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, she's excluded from the congregation of the Lord. All Moabites were. They were descended from an incestuous relationship with Lot and his daughters. And they were enemies of Israel. But she was, although the law condemned her, she was shut out. Not welcome. Have you ever felt not welcome? Well, you're in the right place because Jesus welcomes sinners. Hey, now I'm not welcome because of what I've done. That's wonderful. Confess your faults. Confess your sin. Trust in him and he accepts you and brings you to heaven fully accepted. But I got to move on. In Ruth 3 and verse 11, she's called a virtuous woman. You know, she's the only woman in the Bible who's called a virtuous woman, but still she was shut out. Listen to me, no matter how virtuous you are or think you are, your virtue cannot save you. Why? Because we're all breakers of God's law. But how did she get into Christ's family? I'll tell you why. It was because of one man. His name was Boaz. And I don't have time to tell you her entire story, but I recommend that you read it in the book of Ruth. She was a widow, and she went down to Israel, and she met Boaz. And it was love at first sight, and Boaz is good to her. And she asks, why, in Ruth 2, verse 10, why have I found grace in your sight? She's startled by grace. Hey, what about you? Are you startled by grace? I know I am so many times startled that God could love me, a wretch like me. Oh, are you startled by grace? Ruth was. She met Boaz, and then eventually Boaz became her kinsman redeemer. He paid a price for her redemption. Of course, Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and I love what Ruth said, that, why have I found grace? Oh, why Boaz was good to her. And Jesus is good to us. We have found grace because he went to the cross. He went to the cross and hung between heaven and earth like a disinherited son. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Do you believe that? Wounded for you. Wounded for me. But what about you personally? Do you know that we're not saved by love alone? Did you know that? Now, God so loved the world that he saved us. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says, God so loved the world that he gave. Ah, there was the secret of love. Well, what did he give? He didn't give a what. He gave a who. Who did he give? Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. God, you see, being a God of justice, he couldn't arbitrarily reach down and clear the guilty. He's not lawless. He can't reach down from heaven and say, oh, it doesn't matter what you've done. Oh, come to heaven and be with me. Oh, we'll have a happy time. No, he provided the only way by which the just demands of the law would be satisfied and the sinner saved. It was by Christ dying the sinner's death at the cross. And now we come into the presence of God. Believers come into the presence of God, not as some useless pardoned criminal, but as people who are in Christ. Did you know that's where he places us? We come to him as rotten sinners, ask for mercy, forgiveness, and grace, trust in him, and we are placed into Christ, and we find ourselves in the presence of God in Christ with as much right to be there as Christ himself. And Ruth got into the family of Christ because of one thing. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, isn't it lovely? Grace. And we got in because of the same thing, grace. Grace alone. The law stood against Ruth, and the law stood against us. But Christ fulfilled the law and kept the law and paid the penalty for us as lawbreakers. And then the last lady we want to mention is found in verse 6. And her name's Bathsheba. Now, her name is not actually mentioned there. It just says she was the wife of the fellow called Uriah. Why wasn't she mentioned by name? Well, this is just speculation. Maybe it was because primarily her sin, well, it wasn't primarily her sin. It was David's sin. I suspect that she knew far more than she lets on. But some of you are listening and saying, what is the story of Bathsheba? Oh, you're not going to believe it. It's in the Bible. Here's Bathsheba. She's out in the, or David's out in his roof of his palace. He's taking a bit of exercise in the evening. And the next roof over, he's looking down, and there's Bathsheba taking a bath. Bathsheba. Yeah. And, listen, folks, they've made movies of this stuff, but he sends for her. And they get together, and he impregnates her. And so Uriah, the husband, he's out fighting wars for King David. And so they send for him and bring him home so that he'll go in and have knowledge of his wife, have sex with his wife. And Uriah comes back, and he won't go in and have sex. He says, "No, how can I do that when the armies are fighting against my lord the king? I can't do that." And so David arranges for Uriah to go back to battle and basically get murdered. Yeah. Who did that? David did that. You mean the fellow who wrote the Psalms did that? Yeah. David was all wrong. I mean, he shouldn't have been in Jerusalem. He should have been out with his armies fighting. He was a godly man. Now listen to me. He was a godly man, but he fell into sin. Have you fallen? And don't be shocked. David fell. I'm not recommending it to anybody, but anybody, any believer can fall. You gotta work at not falling, folks. He was a godly man, but he fell. Well, how did Bathsheba get into the family of the Lord Jesus? One word. Grace, grace, grace. And David's fall demonstrates that God's elect cannot lose their salvation because God's elect will always be brought back. They will be brought back, restored, reconciled. Why can't they lose their salvation? Well, one word, grace. However, he had committed an awful sin and he couldn't get by with it. Pharaoh could have got by with it, yeah, because he wasn't one of God's children. King of Babylon could have got by with this kind of sin, but David couldn't. Well, why not? Because he's God's man, and that's the difference between the sin of a believer and the sin of a non-believer. The child of God never gets away with sin. David sinned and thought that no one knew, but God knew. And in David's confession in Psalm 51, verse 8, he felt like all his bones were broken. As he sat there on his throne, the throne of Israel, the powerful man, he felt his bones were broken. He wasn't getting away with anything. And you know, the prodigal son couldn't get away with his sin. He was in misery in the pig pen and came to the pig pen and came to the place where he said, I just got to get back to my father. I hate the pig pen. And if you like, listen, if you like the pig pen, you're not a child of God. There's only one class of things that like pig pens, and that's pigs. The child of God may get into the pig pen. Hey. I understand that, but you'll want to get out. You may fall into sin, but you'll want to get out of it. The unsaved will be content to stay in the pig pen, but not God's elect. What about you? Are you happy in the pig pen? Well, trust, if you're not, go back to God. Go back to your Father in the name of Jesus. Go back and receive His mercy and grace. David got into the pig pen, but he was disturbed. He felt like all his bones had been broken. And he was confronted with his sin by Nathan the prophet. Thou art the man. But God, listen to me, God didn't throw him overboard. David never committed that sin again. And Bathsheba, she's brought into the family of God. The woman with whom he had sinned became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's grace. Don't you love grace? Isn't it amazing? Listen to me. The only people that God saves, the only people that Jesus saves, God and Jesus, one and the same, the only people he doesn't save are sinners. Tamar shows us that. She was dressed like a prostitute, acted like a prostitute, and she got into the family of God. Why? Grace, grace, grace. Then we saw Rahab, and she shows us the way to receive the salvation is by faith. How could an owner of a brothel get into the family of God? Grace, grace, grace. Her mind was changed. Grace, grace. And she became a follower of the Lord. Grace, grace. Then it was Ruth, we see. Deliverance from the charges of the law through a kinsman redeemer, and every single one of us need a redeemer. All you listening to me, You need a redeemer. There's folks down in Nigeria, not Nigeria, Kenya, listening to me. You need a redeemer, a redeemer. And then there's Bathsheba. We see that even when the elect fall into sin, God will pull them back again. And that's grace. And that's the gospel truth. Amen.